Welcome to episode 144 of the Atomic Powered Supercast with your hosts, Jen, Andrew, and David. This week, we read World of Warcraft by Walt Simonson. And now, the cast begins.
Okay, everybody, welcome to another Warcrafty episode of the Atomic Powered Supercast. My name is Andy, and I'm hanging out with David.
Hello.
And Jen.
Hey.
And this week, we're back after a week off, and we're reading World of Warcraft, Volume 1, Issues 0 to 7 by Walt Simonson and art by Ludo Ludabi. And this is the second episode in our video game comic series, the video game adaptations, or not video game, like comic books inspired and taken from licensed properties that are video games.
Yes.
So this week, it was World of Warcraft. And I think this is interesting because last time we read the Mass Effect book, and we all kind of felt that that was a big universe with lots of lore and established stuff, and we wanted it to be more of an ongoing story and less of a miniseries that was just kind of designed to sell the game. And I think this week we get what's supposed to be that, like an ongoing story that makes use of a really rich lore that already exists. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Because, I mean, I think Warcraft has as big of a world full of lore as Mass Effect, if not more.
Bigger, I would say.
I mean,
they've been working on... When did the first Warcraft game come out? It was like in the...
93, that seems
early 90s.
I mean, it was on DOS.
Yeah,
so maybe 93, yeah.
Even that seems like a little early. I don't know. So what did you guys think of this?
Yeah, so 96. I don't know. I like this at the end. I will say I had trouble getting into it.
Yeah, like, it's a little bit of a slow burn.
It was a bit mediocre in the beginning. Like, I feel like Walt Simonson wrote with a very Thor cadence, and it wasn't fitting. And then somewhere like along the line, it kind of clicked, and he fell into writing for these characters better. And by the end of like issue 6 and 7, I was really enjoying it.
I enjoy this comic. I used to get this regularly. It used to be on my pull list. But when I did a great culling of comics, this was one of the ones that bit the dust, unfortunately. But I do enjoy this comic. It's pretty fun, and I think, when I was getting this comic, I was actively playing World of Warcraft, so that definitely helped me enjoy the comic even more. Mm-hmm. But it's been a couple years since I read it, and it's still pretty enjoyable.
So that's worthwhile background information. We all play World of Warcraft, or have at some point, right?
Right.
Oh, yes.
You're an active player. Are you an active player, Jen?
No, I actually just uninstalled the game today, but I haven't been playing since maybe 6 months ago.
Yeah, because you were a hardcore high-end raider.
Yes. This was like a part-time job. We were raiding maybe 16 hours a week, and back in vanilla, if you wanted to raid on a real level, and I'm talking like server first and, you know, competing for in the top, I don't know, 50, 100 in the world. And I mean, that's like not that impressive, but it was still such work because aside from the 16 hours of raiding, you had to go and like prepare for raids, which took 4 hours a night. And it's like, so this was like a huge part of my life for a very long time.
Yeah. And I've had a character since Alpha, still have that character, transferred servers, my druid, my Night Elf druid. And I'm a way, way casual player. Like, I didn't reach level cap until Cataclysm. Up until that point, I was never at level cap because I spent too much time fishing and cooking and doing all this other dumb shit with the, like, 4 hours a week that I played. But it's still a game that I actively played for a long time, and I didn't raid until Cataclysm, but it's a game that I've always really enjoyed. Mm-hmm. I think because I came from an EverQuest background, and EverQuest was a really terrible game that I think people played because it was an MMO, and MMOs were something that just didn't exist when that game was out. So then I got WoW, and I was like, oh my god, this is like a real game. And I just played that instead, and I was equally casual about it. But David, I know you're on and off.
Well, I started playing right after Burning Crusade came out, so I was not a vanilla WoW player. But I joined a guild pretty much immediately because I played with a group of friends that were already in a guild. And so I started kind of doing raids off and on around that time. But like you said, Andy, I would usually take a break about 6 months before a next pack would come out, and then I would pick the game up again when an expansion came out, and then I would play, and then take another break. And I did that until Mists of Pandaria came out, and I stopped playing pretty quickly after Mists came out. I got to level cap, did some end game dungeons and stuff, but never did any raiding that came with that expansion, and I haven't gone back to the game. I think for me the game just kind of was losing some of its novelty. I don't think it's a bad game. I just was getting kind of tired of it.
Yeah, and there's so many other great things out there nowadays. You know, like, I mean, just looking at two weeks ago, we read Mass Effect. Like, that's another phenomenal game that I completely missed the boat on because I was too busy playing Warcraft. You know, so I totally feel you. And, like, you guys are all playing Borderlands 2, and I'm like, I still haven't finished playing Borderlands 1, and then tonight I'm fully intending on raiding. Like, it's a choice you make as a gamer, especially as a grown-up gamer. So
yeah, exactly. Like, I'm in the same boat. I basically only play two games right now. I play Borderlands 2 and XCOM. Yeah. And neither of those are new games, you know. I want to try Bioshock Infinite, but I just told myself, you know, finish something else first. Well, I'm actually finishing a game first. I'm done with the main story of Borderlands 2, but now I'm working through the DLC. But yeah, it's hard to pick a game when you don't have tons of time to play. And so a game that takes up basically all my gaming time, like WoW does, it doesn't do it for me anymore. So I play games like Borderlands 2 and XCOM, where I can play a couple missions and then stop. I'm not falling behind, you know?
Yeah. Oh, man. And XCOM, you got it at the Steam sale. And that reminds me about Roller Coaster Tycoon. And now we're getting off subject.
Yeah.
So, did reading this comic feel like it was driving you just to buy the game and play the game? Or did it feel like an independent, worthwhile story on its own?
So it definitely made me want to play. That's for sure. For sure it did that. Because I remembered, you know, it takes you on this journey, like greatest hits of Kalimdor.
Yeah.
And it just made me want to go back to that. Because the world of Warcraft... I'm using the world, like the world that exists in the game, is very cool.
The lore world, yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool, and Blizzard has done a good job of fleshing it out. And so I guess, yes, it is selling me on the game to a degree. But I already, it's a place I've been before. It's not, it's like a nostalgia trip for me. But it's not such a big pull that I'm going to fire up the game and pay $15 a month. So,
and I mean, I'm in sort of the similar boat for the last like week. And part of the reason we didn't record last week is because I was in the middle of moving, and so I haven't had internet access at home until about 20 minutes before we started recording this episode.
Wow.
And I really missed playing Warcraft during that week, and reading this comic kind of sated my want to play. So it's kind of like it did like the other thing for me. Like I was like, I want to get in there. And I'm surprised it didn't make me want to get in there more, because like these characters are characters that I have in the game, you know? Like I have my druid, my night elf druid, and in this comic there's a night elf druid. So I feel like it does a good job of feeling like Warcraft. And if you have a Warcraft itch, maybe sating it or making you even itchier for it. But I think it doesn't do it just to sell the game. Like, the end of this trade didn't make me go, oh, man, I really want to hop into Warcraft and play my druid, you know?
Yeah.
It made me kind of say, well, okay, what happens when Varian gets back to Stormwind? You know, like, what happened to him? Because I don't remember this lore from Vanilla. I don't remember any of this stuff from back then. I know about Onyxia and that kind of thing, but I don't know how he ended up not King of Stormwind. How he got lost. I don't remember any of that. And so this comic makes me want to read that lore. And even though it already exists, I feel like this is such a cool way to kind of tie in the comic to the ongoing lore of the game and just kind of flesh out something that is just kind of like mentioned in quest text in-game. Like, it's a cool way of tying the game and this comic together, but still letting Ness be its own entity.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, too, that, like, it made me miss WoW. But at the same time, I didn't really feel like I had to go play afterwards, and I didn't feel like it was saying in any way, you know, go play the game to find out what happens next. It felt more like, you know, wait until the next issue to find out what happens next. It felt like a cohesive comic that was just really nicely tied into the world of the game.
That said, there were a couple moments that kind of, like, if you played, sort of pull you out a little bit. Like what is it? Wow, God, what was the guy's name? The trainer? Rhaegar?
Yes. Rhaegar?
When he says, I'll be so rich, I can retire! And then he's talking, like, 2,000 gold.
That used to be a lot of money.
I know, but, like, nowadays, it's like, dude, you can get 2,000 gold just by leveling up a character to, like, 40. It's no biggie, whatever.
Yeah, but he's not trying to buy armor or anything.
Yeah, he's just trying to buy a hovel out in the Barrens. It's cool.
Yeah.
But, like, for all those things that kind of pull you out, there are the constant ties into it that kind of are really cool. Like, I think it's good irony for people who have played to know Varian the second you see him. Like, as soon as he stopped being a silhouette and started being a character that was drawn, you know, I was like, oh my God, that's Varian. And it kind of makes me think, why does nobody else recognize him, you know? But I kind of like, well, but there's no newspaper, you know? There, and it's King Varian. It's not like he's famous on wanted posters.
I thought Jaina would, though, right?
Yeah, huh?
Well, she lives in Theramore, though.
Yeah, but she was around in Dalaran and everything.
Yeah, I got the impression they knew each other, like, or at least had seen each other at some point, but
Yeah, so, I mean, there's those kind of moments, but I like the irony that creates for people who have played the game, to know that thing that the characters in the comic don't know. I like how you can have that excitement for it, and I imagine if you didn't know who he was, it would be a cool reveal to find out, oh shit, he's actually the King of Stormwind.
Yeah, and it's not just for him, it's kind of seeing all these other characters who pop up in-game, like that Tauren lady, I think Megara, and then Cairn Bloodhoof, the Tauren leader. And I really feel like you see Rhaegar at some point in the game. I can't say for sure, but I feel like almost everyone we encountered you do meet in the game, and it made the world feel more full.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, it's almost like when I saw Jaina, I was like, that's kind of, that felt like a name drop or like a character drop. Like, it made sense for me for them to go to Thunderbluff a little bit, but like to go all the way to Theramore just to see Jaina, I don't know.
I mean, you would, if you were going to the Eastern Kingdom from Thunderbluff, you would go by Theramore. You'd take that boat.
That's true. So, that is the way it works in game, too.
It seems.
And remember, you get sent all over the place in game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fucking everywhere.
It did seem odd that, I think, Egwene is her name, was featured so prominently, because she's kind of in the game. And she's actually Medivh's mother. And I think Medivh is the guy who opened the dark portal and had the orcs come from Draenor to Kalimdor.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, she's actually a major player, and it was really strange seeing her in this comic for me. I don't know why, because she is in the game serving with Jaina like that, but eh.
Yeah. So, what did you guys think of the three main characters we get in this? We get Brol, Valyra, and Logosh / Varian Rin, but we'll go ahead and call him Logosh, because that's what he's called up in here. So, what did you guys think of these characters?
I really like Brol.
Yeah?
He was enjoyable, and I feel like at first, Simonson was trying to include, like, more humor than seemed appropriate, but eventually it kind of started fitting better, and Brol ended up being a character who had, like, a good backstory and past, but wasn't... It was nicely done drama, like, it wasn't emo or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, he managed to also kind of be a funny sidekick through part of it, and I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I liked Brol a lot, too. I think he had some depth as a character that will allow him to have a projection of growth, you know? Because the whole thing that's explained with him and the antlers, right? How, like, being born with antlers is considered a gift from nature, and that it means that you're destined to be something special, but he's just here fighting in the circle of blood or whatever they call it. And it's like, I think you're supposed to be meant for more than that. You know, and I read a couple issues over, so I don't know if this was in these first 7 or 8 or not, but it's like, he gives this whole speech where he's like, I was supposed to be so much more, and this, like, he has this crushing anxiety almost about his having not reached his full potential. And that's an interesting thing for a character, something that he can overcome too. And I like the way it shows up as a manifestation in his limitation in his abilities, how he can only shapeshift into a bear. He can't do a cat. He can't do the fucking weird sea otter thing. You know, he can't do any of the other druid forms. He can only do the bear because of that crushing anxiety he has in on himself.
Yeah, I think that's in issue 6.
Is it? I really like that interaction. That's so cool. Oh, yeah, because they go to Darnassus.
They do, yeah, they do that first before they go to Theramore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was an interesting character, too. Like I was going to say, because he's the only one where we see, I think, significant growth in these 7 issues.
Yeah.
And you feel great sympathy towards him, especially I did, once you see why. You know, it didn't occur to me that he couldn't, like, I didn't realize that he wasn't changing into anything other than the bear.
Yeah, I didn't either.
And then I was like, oh, crap, yeah, that's right, he only turned into a bear. What about a cat form or something? And now it, and then it made, you know, the whole backstory about him was pretty interesting. And it made him a sympathetic character.
Yeah. And it made me, like, and then when he overcomes that, I'm like, yeah, buddy, there you go. Time to kick some ass for real. Like, it made me proud of him, you know? I didn't get that emotional reaction last episode with any of the characters in the Mass Effect one, but this made me go, yeah, buddy! For a video game character. I thought that was so cool.
I think a nice thing, too, is that even though he, like, overcame this problem in the first volume, like, the first trade, there's foreshadowing of a greater issue. And I actually don't know what this problem's gonna be. I don't remember it. But he gives Staghelm that idol that he cleansed.
No,
and
yeah,
he's like, it's totally safe here, right? So, you know, you get this really bad sense, like, no, it's not. Something bad's going to happen. Yeah. And I like that separate plot line was put in there to keep him interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he does, I mean, I don't remember what happens with that idol, but he and Fandral do have kind of a intertwined future a little bit. So what about Valyra, the blood elf? What did you guys think about her?
She was kind of annoying, but I think that was on purpose.
Yeah.
You know, I think that this is another character where they're setting her up to become something much more than she is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And Yeah, she was very annoying. I got, like, her interaction with Bro was kind of like, gosh, Dad, get off my back.
Yeah, definitely. Like,
yeah.
Oh, my God. She's probably, like, if she's a blood elf, they're elves, right? So she's probably, like, what, 120 years old, maybe, at least? You know, the elves in this game are supposed to be immortal, or at least damn close to it.
Well, she admits to being young for an elf.
Yeah, but that's
what I'm saying. But she doesn't like Varian calling her young.
Yeah. Because it's all relative, you know? Like, Varian is... Varian's probably... What is Varian, like 30-something?
He's probably in his 30s.
Yeah. So, Valyria is probably a shitload older than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was actually pretty good when she was duking it out with the assassin. But aside from that, she seemed really incompetent. Like, she'd just run in and be like, I'm gonna hit you, and get smacked. And it's like, but you handled the assassin pretty competently. Why couldn't you do that everywhere else?
Yeah, and Rhaegar sells her off as, like, a tactician, almost, for a team. Because, you know, she's obviously too weak to be a fighter, of course. In quote, finger quotes, I say this. But, like, the only thing I saw her do tactful in the ring was make the ogre hit itself. Like, make the two heads argue with each other. Which is just the biggest cliche thing possible. Which makes me think it's not that big of an innovation. She's not really that great of a tactician.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's because she wasn't such a good fighter, and she was just constantly behind them?
Well, she's a rogue. I got the notion that she's a rogue.
Yeah, I think so too.
She's sneaky?
Yeah? I don't know.
She just seemed a little, like, not smooth in how competent she was. You know, sometimes more, sometimes less, and it didn't quite fit.
Yeah, and I think the whole interaction, like, the good part about having the Night Elf and the Blood Elf on the same team is the like, millennia-old conflict between the two. Not millennia, I don't even know how old it was when the Sun War was destroyed, but the conflict between their two races, you know, between the Blood Elves and the Night Elves, and the Blood Elves turning to arcane and fell energy to feed their addiction to magic, and how that's related to the Night Elves and how they look down on them for it. I think that well is an interesting one to dive into. I think the addiction is bad well is very annoying.
Yeah. We know where addiction leads to in comics, and it's not pretty.
Yeah, and it's like, drugs are bad, okay? We get that. But I think the more that they talk about the history between the two, and not just the addiction is bad, but like the racial dynamic between it, and the way that the Night Elves almost, they're racist against the Blood Elves in the most pure sense of the word. They look down on them as being lesser than the Night Elves, and that's straight up wrong. Whether or not that addiction is good or bad, it's wrong to look down on them and not try to help them. And I think Brol does overcome that. Brol, on a singular case basis, does try to help Valyria as much as he can. But he does it in a way that pushes him into that, like, almost fatherly role. That doesn't quite feel right either. I don't know. It's a tough dynamic to work out.
And you just reminded me of something really early on, like right before she sabotages Brol by, like, you know, silencing him right before that big fight.
Mm-hmm.
She has this, like, really emo teenager moment where she's like, I'm not a child. And she's sitting, like, hunched in a corner being like, stupid Brol, you didn't even think about that I didn't ask to be born like this, and it's not my fault my parents had me. And it was just like, Whoa, tone it down.
Whoa. Nobody said any of that.
Yeah.
Just relax. It'll be okay.
It is kind of interesting, though. Like, in some ways, she is a child. Like, she's really petulant and hot-headed.
Yeah, you know, and I always wonder about that when you write a character that's old, right? And I get the perspective of she's a child by elf standards, right? Like, elves live for thousands of years. Valyria is maybe, what, 100 or 200, okay? I get that perspective on why she should be young from their eyes. But it always feels weird to me when you have a character be 150 and have them act more childish than a human that acts like a 40-year-old, right? Like, Logosh acts like a normal adult dude, but somehow comes off as more mature and level-headed than Valyria, who's 3 to 4 times his age.
Maybe elves don't have to grow up as fast? They have longer adolescence? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. It always seems really weird to me how that happens. And, I mean, we could have talked about this, too, last time with Mass Effect and Liara, how she's like 100-something. But is completely without willpower and just being led around by the powers that be. You'd think somebody who is 100-something would have a somewhat better street smarts.
Well, I mean, it depends on how their experiences shape their lives. Maybe Valyria never left that place where the Blood Elves lived.
Yeah, crap, what the hell is his name?
Until she got, I don't know, maybe she... Well, she was in jail for a long time, too, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So maybe she was just in jail, and she didn't learn anything. Who knows?
Yeah. So the last character in the trio, King Varian Wrynn. What did we think of his characters in here?
Well, he didn't really have much of a character. Yeah, right?
He's kind of blank.
I mean, that makes sense. He has amnesia, so I guess that works.
I do like how his first instinct when they're picking out weapons is to go for the biggest ones he can possibly pick up.
He's a definite Fury Warrior.
Hell yeah.
So, I want to point out, in the game, Varian is a dick.
Yeah.
Like, he's a much nicer person in this comic. And I really wonder if that's just amnesia, or if that's how Walt Simonson's going to write him for, like, the rest of the run.
Wait, when in the comics is he a dick? Or, I mean, like,
he's not a dick in the comics at all.
Sorry, in the game.
Okay, you're asking me for trivia. That's like 5 years old.
No, I'm just kidding. I want an example of his dickhood.
I can't, dude. All I remember is, like, the basic interactions with him. He comes off as, like, a racist douchebag. And a lot of the other world leaders kind of treat you with some modicum of respect. And he's just kind of viciously dickish, but I can't cite you anything because it's been so long since I've...
Oh, yeah, he's hella racist.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of them are, but he's especially bad. And you know what's funny? He's not, like, super racist here. He's kind of willing to work around Rhaegar owning him, even. He's like, yeah, okay, I'm a slave now, but it won't be that way forever. It's cool.
Well, I think it's a matter of agency, too, right? I mean, here he has no choice, you know. They bring up the point, like, a slave is only a slave as long as he wants to be, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's great, but really, he is a slave, and he doesn't have agency. At least nowhere near the kind of agency he has when he's king of Stormwind. So maybe, like, when he's king, that racism can become more manifest? I don't know.
At the same time, he kind of never mentions anything like super racist or ill will. It's more like he says, okay, this orc is our enemy and we gotta get free. But it's none of... As I recall, the writing in the game is full of, like, racial epithets for, like, ogres and trolls and orcs and, you know, everyone's really angry all the time. And it makes sense. It's Warcraft. They are at war.
Yeah.
But he comes off as a lot more mellow in general in this. Like, he has command with respect. Like, he respects the people under him, like Brol and Valyria, and they respect him. Whereas Varian in-game is more like, do this, I'm king, fuck you.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, that's how he gives out quests. That's how he talks to your character. And
Yeah,
I don't know. He just seems nicer.
That might even be just the problem with how you interact with it, right? Because, I mean, in game, he's just kind of sitting there on his throne forever. And then you go up and talk to him, and there's like a quest box, and he says, go kill 30 wolves for me. And you go bring him like 40 wolf eyes or whatever stupid thing, right? But like, in a comic like this, you can give him actual dialogue interaction. You know, like in the game, you don't get a lot of opportunities to see how Varian interacts with other characters. You know, you don't get that interaction a lot. And it's, I think that's where something like this is totally valuable in helping them flesh out that universe. It's for people who like Warcraft, for people who like these characters even a little bit, right? Even if you kind of like Jaina, you could pick up a comic that has a bunch of Jaina in it and get a better sense of her personality and who she is, or Logosh, his personality, and who, like, this helps them flesh out that universe. And that way, those characters that do feel almost two-dimensional in the game, like the way Varian feels flat in the game, kind of comes up more in this. And I think the reason I think it's that way is based on the interaction, is because I think when this is happening, Anduin, Varian's son, is like 5 or 6, right? He's hella young, isn't he?
Yes.
Because this is like vanilla. But nowadays, Anduin is in all kinds of cutscenes in the game. So you see him interacting with other people a lot, and he's much older, and you get a great sense of his character through the game now. And you get a better sense of who's Varian is, but he's like, you know, they try to use him sparingly because it's like name-dropping. But that's why I kind of think it's the interaction that helps you tease out these characters and why they all feel like cardboard in the game. But that's why things like this are so great. This really, I had a great experience reading this comic. It made me want to read more comics about characters in this game. Because I was like, this is awesome, but can we go to Undercity now? You know, like, I almost want a story from another character in this world, a different point of view, to see the Eastern Kingdoms. I want some dwarves and some Sylvanas Windrunner in my comic and some Moira Bronzebeard.
Yes. I really want to read a comic about Thrall, for instance. Like, he's just such a good character in the game. I imagine that if he was in a comic, it would be amazing.
Yeah. I don't know, that was my major takeaway from this. Like, this was really good, in that it was a complete story that filled in the lore that already existed and pulled from that lore that already existed. Like, it works within this environment really well. But I was like, man, you gotta pick Varian, like, the human male. Pick somebody more interesting. I want to go to some of the more exotic locales here.
Well, you know, they have to have, they're trying to make someone relatable. But the game, I mean, I think they do a pretty decent job. I mean, they put two alliance races and a horde character together. They don't make a clear-cut villain or hero.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they don't make the horde or the alliance good or bad, which I think is a very important distinction that they keep in the game always, that neither the alliance nor the horde is necessarily the good or the bad guys. Right?
Yeah.
And they maintain that here. I mean, okay, so the main character of the book is the King of Stormwind, but that doesn't make him good necessarily. He doesn't go around kinging it up, you know?
You know what? That does remind me of something that I thought was really interesting in this comic. Is that when you play the game, you are a hero of the Alliance or you are a hero of the Horde, and you are strictly aligned with one of them. But a lot of the characters we get in this comic aren't, like, strictly aligned with one or the other. Like, Valyr is not a member of the Horde. You know, the Blood Elves are allied with the Horde, but she doesn't really seem to care too much other than the fact that she just, you're like, okay, I need to steer away from Theramore because they're not too friendly to people. They're not too friendly to Blood Elves, you know? Like, But that's about it. Like, you get this sense that for the everyday people in the world, those kinds of things only matter in that they're a hindrance to where they can go and how they can live in certain areas. And I thought that was really cool, how you got that sort of almost civilian point of view of the characters living in the world when from this comic. I know, it's a really little thing, but I thought it was kind of cool. So, what did you guys think of the art?
I did like it. There was one shot, one frame, that I was just like, ugh, when I turned to it. And I think it's in, like, the first or second issue. I can't remember, because there was an issue zero, so I don't quite remember the number.
Oh, you get it mixed up.
Yeah, but, okay, it's right after... right after Varian meets Valyra, and they're sitting around in their gladiatorial pen, like, after practice, and he says something like, and she's just a child, and then it shows a shot of her, like, flashing her crotch with her giant boobs out.
Oh,
it's
the
only time she's super sexualized in this, like, way beyond normal. And then she's like, I'm not a child. And it's like, oh my god, why did you draw that?
Not a child.
Yeah, this is creepy. And the whole time everybody's like, this is a child. And it's like, if you look like that, you're not a child.
Yeah. You know, I do think that's worth bringing up. That is kind of a weird thing in this comic is the... Well, it's a weird thing in the game, too, and in fantasy games.
Yeah, I was going to say, the game is the same way.
Yeah,
with the gear. And you get it in here, too, with Jaina. Jaina's robe is kind of like that. Like, she has just, like, she has, like, a midriff cutout, almost. She has, like, you know how, like, Power Girl has her boob window? She has, like, a belly button window on her robe. It's just weird. And it's like, there's no reason for it, I don't know, and... Yeah, it's a game problem that carries over into this, but I agree, that panel, I do remember that panel sticking out in my head as being like, that feels like fan service in the weirdest way.
Yeah, it didn't fit with the rest of the art is the thing. Like, if it was an entire comic of, like, hypersexualized women in weird poses, I'd have another problem. But at the same time, I'd be like, well, they were going for a theme. And this one, it was just like, why is this frame in here? That's so random, because nowhere else do we have that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I did like the art. I thought especially, like, the scenes in the Emerald Dream were really cool, where he calls on the animal spirits. I thought that was, like, really well drawn. I thought some of the fight scenes could have been clearer. It was, like, kind of hard to tell what was going on, but... The line work and color looked nice in general, I would say.
Yeah, you know, I'm right there with you on the fight scenes. Because, like, some of it, I think, is the difficulty in trying to draw how a fight would happen with these people and their different abilities, right? Like, you got a rogue, a warrior, and a druid, and, like, I think the way that the shape-shifting was drawn tended to be done pretty well. Like... Do you see, like, the bare paw, and there's, like, grayness, and then Brol standing there, right? And then the next panel, you get just the bear. So it's kind of, you can kind of see the transition happen. But when they were fighting in the Circle of Blood, am I getting the name wrong over and over?
I think it's Crimson Ring.
Crimson Ring. Yeah, when they're fighting in the Crimson Ring, it's like, I didn't get a good sense of who was standing where and what things were happening at what time. Not what time, but just didn't quite flow too great. So I agree with you with the action stuff. What about you, David? Anything stand out for you in the comic, art-wise?
I agree with you guys. I thought it was actually cool because it reminded me very much of manga, the line work. Obviously not the coloring, because most manga is not in color, but yeah, it just had... It had that kind of... To me, manga feels very dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought the art was good. I enjoyed it. I felt like it was very alive. There was lots of colors and pretty good facial expressions, even though everybody's kind of grimacing all the time. But I enjoyed it. I don't know if there's... I'm trying to think of a particular scene that really jumped out to me. And I kind of agree with you guys on the action. There were some times where I kind of got a little bit lost, but in general, it was pretty easy to follow. And I thought it was good. Like, it was very consistent, and, you know, like I said, the line work was good. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, it sounds like we're ready to rate this one. Jen, you go first.
Okay, I feel like this is a pretty solid 3.5. I think that it was a bit shaky at the beginning. Like, I didn't necessarily feel like the flow of dialogue was, I guess, pleasant to read. I don't know. It wasn't aesthetic or something. That sounds so pretentious. It just didn't seem smooth until closer to the end, where the plot seemed to fall in place along with a better sense of how each character acted. Like, I think in the beginning everyone was kind of petulant and making weird quips at each other, and there were a lot of strange attempts at humor. But then later you get to see, like, Valyra develops her own personality. She's kind of capricious. And then Brol is someone who has a kind of pretty dark past, but he's also got a good sense of humor. And, you know, he is really good at switching between levity and gravity in the middle of combat. And then, you know, you see that Varian kind of has a good respect for his peers, like his companions, and tries to do right by them. So they become their own characters, and that made it very much more engaging. So that, and by the end, I was kind of like, I know who done it. And that was a little bit, like, it felt like fun fan service to be engaged in the plot that way. In general, you know, I also felt like the art did get more solid. I would argue, like, the action sequences at the end, for instance, Valyra's fight with the giant spider and the assassin, the way that played out felt a lot more clear than the fight with the ogre gladiatorial team.
Yeah.
So maybe Walt Simonson and Ludo Lulabi, like, kind of got more in the groove of making this comic as they went through the issues. And I'm just hoping, you know, I'm probably going to go and read more of this. It was enjoyable. So I'm hoping that that continues in an upward slope. So with that in mind, and ending, like, you know, issue 7 on, like, wow, that was pretty good, I'll give it a 3.5.
Okay. I'll go next, mostly because I'm going to pretty much entirely agree with you. I'm going to give this one a 3. 3.5 feels a little bit high to me, but I'm going to give it a solid 3. Just because I completely agree. It feels like the first couple issues, they're trying to find their legs, and I don't know if it's the relationship developing between the author and the artist. I don't know if it's the author trying to wind this story within the existing lore and create a framework for him to be able to tell his own story in a way that will end up tying into the game and the lore that's already there. You know? I imagine that's a unique set of difficulty. Because I'm pretty sure Brol and Valyra were invented for this comic. And if not, you could fool me. But Varian has to end up back in Stormwind with a specific set of circumstances having happened to him. So from Walt's point of view, he's got to set up the story for Varian to get back there, but also create a wrapping around it that works. And I don't know if that's why it had a slow start, or I don't know if it's the developing relationship between the two of them. I don't know, but yeah, starts off a little slow, but way picks up. And I discovered if there's a video game comic with an ongoing story in a world full of rich lore, I'm pretty interested. I was tepid after the Mass Effect, but I'm pretty interested in reading more World of Warcraft comics if it's ongoing stuff like this. Like I said earlier, if I can read something where they go to Undercity, I fucking love Undercity so much, and Sylvanas Windrunner, I mean, I love her, she's great. Like, if we could get stories of different characters running around in this world, it doesn't even have to be Varian, just everyday dudes. I don't even know. Just, I like this lore, and I like a story that's ongoing in it. And I'll give it a 3.5. Why not? I'll bump it up. Because I like the idea so much, and this is a great execution for a video game comic. It's ongoing, it's a good story, and it ties into the lore that you already know. All right, David, how about you?
I'm going to give it a 3.5 as well. But let me ask you guys a question. Did Varian appear in the game before this comic? Because I remember reading the comic, and then whenever, I guess it was probably, I think Wrath of the Lich King came out, I was like, oh crap, it's that guy from the comic.
No, he's gone forever and ever. Like, I think it was Wrath when he came back. I don't know if they put him back in the game for Burning Crusade. But a lot of it, he was just missing, and the Child King was acting as regent.
Yeah.
So, okay. I think you're right.
Maybe that's something I just missed in the lore. Because when I read this comic, I was like, oh, that's interesting. And then he appeared in the game, and I was like, oh, man, that's awesome.
That is really cool.
So maybe I just didn't... Well, like I said, I didn't play Vanilla. I started playing the game when Burning Crusade came out.
No, but that would be really cool if they could get the comic to time up with the game. That would be sick.
Like I said, it definitely... This comic came out before... it was revealed he gets back to Stormwind around the time Wrath came out, I believe.
Yeah,
they did sync up.
That's awesome because that rewards everybody. That rewards you for reading the comic. That rewards you for playing the game. And either way, it's rewarding because if you read the comic, you don't play the game, and your friends who do play tell you that he showed up all of a sudden. Who is this guy? You can have that cool interaction. That's great. There's no downside to that in my mind.
Okay, so yeah, like I said, I'm going to give it a 3.5 as well. I enjoyed this comic the first time I read it, and I enjoyed it this time again. These first 7 issues, or 8 if you count issue 0, I think are pretty fun, in particular if you're a player of the game, because I think I mentioned earlier in the episode, but it's like a kind of greatest hits of Kalimdor.
Yeah.
You kind of visit a lot of the major places, especially if you're a night elf or an orc or troll. So it's pretty fun. Like I said, I enjoyed the art. I liked the manga feel of the art.
Mm-hmm.
The color work was really good. You kind of get a good representation of some of the favorite classes in the game. You know, you get a warrior, a rogue, a druid. You get Rhaegar, who's a shaman. And you kind of like recognize things like when he knocks out Logosh after they find him. I was like, oh, was that like supposed to be Frost Shock or something? So it's particularly fun for me, and I think you guys probably have the same reaction because mm-hmm. you spent time in the game, and now you get to see this cool story, and you just get to watch it unfold from the outside instead of having to play through the game. Because sometimes when you play, you, like, skip the quest text and stuff.
But. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But this was a lot of fun. So, 3.5, for sure.
All right. So, really quick, what's your guys' favorite race in-game?
Not Draenei.
You don't like them hooves?
Not Space Goats? Whatever you want.
I never played. I only played a Draenei because... That was the only Alliance Shaman class you could do, and then when you could do Dwarves as a Shaman, I just stopped playing my Draenei Shaman.
What about you, Jen?
Draenei. Mostly because for a long, long, long time, you gave yourself an extra 1% hit, and stacking hit was always so annoying. So that was a thing. It was mostly I always chose my class, mechanically, for raiding, not PvP. And, I mean, I started playing on a Draenei Shaman in BC and kept doing it all the way through Mists of Pandaria, so I got really attached to that character.
Up until they made... Go.
Yeah, I will say I hate the concept of space goats.
Why? We
had to pick something...
The orcs are aliens, too. They're from the same planet.
But they're not goats.
So?
There's
satyrs on Azeroth. They're goats on Azeroth. Why can't there be goats on other planets?
If I, if I had to pick, like, an actual race in terms of lore, I'd say Night Elves are pretty cool.
Okay. But I will admit, Space Goats, they pulled out of their ass, but more people complain about pandas that existed in the game way before Space Goats.
I think that the race I enjoyed playing the most, and I think this has a lot to do with the class I played, was a gnome. Because I had a pink-haired gnome fury warrior.
Yeah.
So the weapon she... I had, like, two giant maces, and they were as big as she was, and she had pink pigtails, and it was just really fun playing that character.
Yeah, I gotta say, as much as I love Sylvanas Windrunner and the story for the undead, and I love the, like, the suburban axe murderer feel of the Blood Elves, like, their city is so clean and so pretty, but they're enslaving a god to do it. As much as I love that stuff, trolls are just so fucking sick. I love the trolls.
I don't think I've ever played a troll.
Oh man, the troll druids, when they shapeshift into stuff, they keep their mohawk and it looks so badass.
See, that's why I liked playing Worgen druid when the Worgens came out. Because they looked awesome as druids.
Yeah.
Those like the wolf bear was cool.
Yes.
Anyways.
Anyways. So that's it for this week. Next week we're gonna do the last comic in our video game crossover series, and we're gonna kind of go the other way. It's a weird one. We're gonna read Injustice: Gods Among Us, written by Tom Taylor and illustrated by Jeremy Rappick. We're gonna read issues 1-6. We're reading them on Comixology. I don't remember if they're available. I don't think they're available in trade yet.
I don't know, but you could probably find the singles at your local comic book store.
Yeah.
I'm going to go pick up my comics tomorrow, and I'm going to look to see if they have the singles. If not, I'm going to get them on Comixology.
Yeah. So, Injustice Gods Among Us is interesting, because Injustice is a game that DC is lending its characters to, and it's a fighting game kind of in the Mortal Kombat vein.
Well, it's made by Netherworld, or NetherRealm, the company that makes Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, which is, I think, it's a natural growth of their early relationship. They did Mortal Kombat versus DC. I think they did. And this is just DC only. And
so you're right, they did make that game.
But, so of course, if you're doing a game where the DC heroes are fighting each other, you have to make some convoluted story to give you a reason for Batman and Flash to fight, right? And so there's a little bit of it in the game, but they're using this comic to create kind of an alternate universe where they can build an excuse for the two to fight. And I'm really interested to see this comic because it's gotten a lot of mixed reviews, I'll say. So that's how it's a video game comic, even though when you pick it up, it's going to feel like just more Superman, Batman, all that kind of good stuff. But it's going to be different. Believe me, it's going to be different from your normal JLA. So that's next week. You can hop on our website and find out what we're going to read after that. Just go to www.atomicpoweredsupercast.com, and you're going to find out that after this, we're going to do a listener request. We got a request from a listener to do specific comic. We're hitting the big time, folks. It only took almost 3 years, but we finally got a listener request. So hit up that website. If you have a request, you can let us know through our email,
which is atomicpoweredsupercast@gmail.com.
Or you can let us know on the social media, facebook.com/APSupercast or twitter.com/APSupercast. Or you won't be able to let us know. I don't know how you... we have a little ask thing, I think, where you can submit stuff to us. I don't know how it would work on Tumblr, but we have a Tumblr. Tumblr.com/APSupercast. Or is it APSupercast.tumblr.com? You can tell I don't know Tumblr that well. That said, we are blowing it up on Tumblr. It's great. We're posting all kinds of stuff. People are reblogging and liking it. I love it. I'm enjoying being on Tumblr. And as always, please subscribe to us on...
iTunes.
All right. Until next week, everybody. Goodbye.
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 I'm so tempted to make a really bad pun.
Do it.
Save it Fandral for the episode.
Was fired. I can't believe you laughed at that.
Of course I laughed at that. That's great.